All right, welcome back. 8 o'clock. Later in this hour, we're going to be talking to a man named Joe DiBiagio. He runs Fans of Philly, and they are in charge of all the trips for the fans to take now that the Eagles schedule has come out.
Cool.
Needless to say, I will get his views on heading to see the Eagles play in Las Vegas, Nevada. Right after the show, I'm pressing management to send this crew out here to see that game. You know why, Al?
Why?
Because it's the city that when you go there, what happens there stays there.
Well, maybe since Spike's leaving, he'll just say we can do anything we want.
You know, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping he goes, I don't care what you guys do. All right, good. Set it up. In fact, I'll make the arrangements on the air when Joe DiBiagio comes on. Yeah. But we also have an offer for the fans who listen to this show. And it's awesome. And you don't want to miss that. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But right now on the line with us is a man we are dying to talk to. It's been a while. In fact, Al, I believe he has an addition to his family now. Our favorite Eagle, the great Jason Kelce's on the line with us. Hi, Jason.
Angelo, how's it going? Been a while.
It has. Let me see. I believe you have a new addition to the Kelce family. Is that right, Jason?
I do. Right about 2.5 months. Elliot Ray Kelce. So.
Wow.
Brand new, two girls, you know, a lot of estrogen in the house, a lot of destruction.
Good luck with
two young children, but I'm having a blast.
And not a ton of sleeping, right, Jason? I'm guessing
not
with two little ones? Wow.
Yeah, pretty much zero sleep.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on your family, I have an announcement. I'm sure you're aware of it, but now, on October 3rd, Travis Kelce will come to Lincoln Financial Field to face his brother, Jason Kelce. That's cool, right, Jason? Is that exciting? The whole family's there. Tell me what that's going to be like for you.
It is. You know, this will be the third time I've played the Chiefs since Travis has been drafted and playing for him. The first time he came to the link, he had a knee issue his rookie year and didn't play at all that year. So I didn't get to play him then. He got the better of us the Super Bowl year in 2017 when we played at Kansas City. So this year, and the NFL somehow it works out. It's actually his birthday weekend. His birthday is October 5th. So I would love it if I could give him a birthday present of the link going crazy and cheering on the Eagles for a victory against Kansas City on October 3rd. My mom will be in the stands. She has a split jersey with both of our names on it, Kansas City and Eagles. So it'll be fun. We'll have a lot of people in town. Obviously, really happy that Pennsylvania and the Eagles announced it will be at full capacity. You know, thank God it seems like we're on the other end of this thing, hopefully. And hopefully that link will be rocking. And I'll ruin my brother's birthday weekend.
That's such a beautiful sentiment to share with the audience. Jason, I'm very curious, though. Do you look closely at the schedule? There are 11 1 o'clock games. I don't know if that's what you would favor than prime time. There's only two prime times this year. Did you get a chance to look at it? If so, what was your reaction?
I did. And to be honest, the only thing I look at when the schedule comes out is where the bye week's at.
Uh-huh.
This is a barn burner. We got 13 in a row. This was I don't even think it was you could have that many games before they extended the season. You know, I really wish the PA in agreeing to the 17 games would have pushed for another bye week in there. 13 in a row is a lot. But outside of that, you know, whatever time the game starts, you know, we'll be ready to go.
All right, Jason, since we've talked to you, there's been an offseason of change on your football team. I guess I'll start with, were you surprised or how surprised were you when Doug Peterson was let go?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody was a little bit surprised. Obviously, you're never that surprised after you go 4-11. You know that there's going to be changes in the building. You know people are going to get let go. You know, obviously I was really close with Doug. I was able to play with him when he was here first time as a quarterback's coach with Andy Reid. Then I was able to continue to watch him when he was with my brother in Kansas City, progress into offensive coordinator. Then he was hired here. So I've known Doug for a very long time and been a part of him as a part of the football family for a long time. So, you know, it's the way the business goes. And, you know, he had three really good seasons another season to start off where we really built the foundation. And, you know, it was an unfortunate season last year. And, you know, to the Eagles' credit, you have to try and change. You have to try and, you know, that's what this business is about. If you're not producing, there's going to be change, whether you're a player, coach, anybody. So I think, you know, I wish nothing but the best for Doug. I love playing for him. And, you know, that's my guy right there. I mean, I love that guy.
Yeah, the whole city does for a lot of reasons, Jason. Nick Sirianni is really new at this. We were all pretty surprised at that selection. What are your first impressions of the new head coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, Nick's really excited. He's excited to be a head coach. That energy comes off every day in these meetings that we're on, even though it's only virtual right now. You know, you can tell that, you know, he's excited to get going. He's excited to install the offense. The meetings have some juice to them. And you know, him being, you know, he's not that young, but the whole staff is young. And what you get with young guys is you get a lot of energy. You get a lot of guys that are hungry to make it in the coaching world, to make names for themselves, to further their careers. And, you know, I haven't been in the building much with all these guys, but when I have, you know, doors are open. People are running back and forth between offices to make sure that they get this thing as dialed in as they can. And they all seem really smart up to this point. They seem like the offense that we've installed, there's been some really great plays. A lot of it all carries over in the NFL now. You know, the base plays are kind of the same no matter where you go. But there's some cool little wrinkles that I think will be able to work in our favor. So I'm excited. I really am. It's the meetings have been fun. The change always is going to rejuvenate guys a little bit. And I think so far, you know, everybody's really enjoyed the meetings. And we're looking forward to getting back together and really getting to know each other that much more.
Hey, Jason, have you faced Nick Sirianni yet in a game of rock, paper, scissors?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to it.
All right, because I want you to understand I'm working on an expose. I believe
okay.
He threw the games against his top draft picks to give them more confidence. He lost to Smith, and then he lost to Dickerson. I think he's throwing the games.
Well, that would be some next-level mental gymnastics.
That is a great way to put that, Jason. Mental gymnastics.
Yeah, I haven't figured that part out yet, but I'm working on it. All right, let me get to there's one thing that you would be better to ask this of anybody. We are still scratching our heads over Carson Wentz and how he left the team. You were there the whole time. Can you give us some sense for what happened in the past season where suddenly he really didn't want to be here anymore? Any idea what went on?
You know, I don't want to speak for Carson, obviously. You know, first of all, the year was terrible. You know, and I think that when you have that bad of a season, unfortunately, you know, there's going to be people that start to, you know, point the finger. And that's something you deal with in any losing season. Jobs start getting on the line. People don't want to be, or they don't think that they're the reason why you're losing. So, you know, say, oh, it's not me, it's this guy, it's that guy, it's this guy. So, you know, that ruins relationships. You know, and I think that the reality is that if you go 4-11, everybody shares some of this blame. Everybody screws up. You know, Carson was the first to tell me, well, he would tell you guys he didn't play well last year. He knows that. He knows he needs to get better. And I think it's just, you know, when people are getting fired, when you know, guys' livelihoods are on the line, players' livelihoods are on the line, everybody, those relationships can go south pretty quick. And that's why, you know, you learn a lot about guys when seasons start going down. You learn a lot about guys and, you know, in tough times. So, you know, I still love Carson. I got a lot of respect for him. Obviously, the way this thing ended, not ideal. But, you know, I think he's actually going to do pretty well in Indianapolis. They got a good offensive line. They got some good pieces around him that he's been successful with before. And then Frank Reich, I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks he's been around, he finds a way to get the most out of that position. So, you know, I think I don't want to get into particulars because I don't really want to speak for anybody. But, you know, this is just kind of what happens when you have losing seasons pile up.
Jason, let me approach it from the other end, because Jalen Hurts came on. And from afar, looking at it, it seemed like the players on that offense responded better to him than they were to Carson. At least that's the way we saw it. Was that really happening?
You know, I think when you're in the middle of the season, where I forget what our schedule was when Jalen went in the game against New Orleans. But, you know, we had maybe 3 wins at that point in the year. Mm. So, you know, we were having a really about as bad of a season as you can have. Jalen, a lot of guys like Jalen. I like Jalen. He's got a tremendous personality, his mentality. He's confident. He's got a lot of these characteristics that guys really gravitate to. So, you know, all of us, when he went in, especially when he did well against Green Bay and against New Orleans, you know, guys are excited. Guys want to win. And when we were able to go out there and perform better on the field, obviously guys are going to be happier out there. And I think, you know, so I think that's the biggest thing, is just the turnover and success and a little bit better production offensively. So, you know, I think most of the guys still really appreciate him and love Carson Wentz as a teammate and as a quarterback. But we also love Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's just one of those situations as a team. You know, when things aren't going well, a guy goes in there, you're excited when you start doing well. And you're excited for Jalen Hurts for his first time in his career to be able to go out there and produce. So, you know, and I'm excited to see what Jalen can do this year. I really like his mentality. All the intangibles this kid has in spades. I mean, he's got just, you know, a great quiet, calm confidence to him. He's cocky. You can tell in his head he's the best player on that field. But he doesn't make all the other receivers, all the other players feel like that's the case. He still appreciates all those other guys. He's still humble enough, but also confident enough at the same time. And that's hard to find in a player. But that's the way most of the best players I've been around are. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year.
That's a great description, Jason. I love that. He's got a friend who is going to help him on that offense, Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith. What could you tell us about him, and how did you react to him ended up on your team?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was sitting there in the first round hoping we win offense. You know, I think he's going to be able to allow to dynamically change the offensive structure, the play calling, the dimension of, you know, attacking the defense downfield while also mixing in hopefully some run plays here and there. You know, I think this kid's going to be able to make us a lot better. So I was really fired up that we were able to get him. It also fired up and how we got him. You know, I think how he's been on the hot seat all off season, it seems like. And, you know, the trade up in front of the Giants to pick the guy that they definitely were going to pick, I thought was a solid move right there on draft day.
Awesome. Now, second round, this is where it gets really exciting, because they bring in a big lineman who plays center, Landon Dickerson, also Alabama, and they're already saying someday maybe the heir apparent to Jason Kelce. Could you tell us what you know about this young man and how you're going to help to groom him someday to replace you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously this kid is he was rated as the best interior lineman in the draft by a lot of guys. To be able to get that type of value in the second round, regardless of me, is great value. Now, when you stack on, obviously I'm getting older, you got to start thinking about the future. And, you know, this kid has everything you want. You turn on the tape, he finishes guys, he's physical, he's got the mentality, he's got the ability, he's got the physicality. Everything you want in a big, mean, nasty offensive lineman, he's got. So, you know, I know he's got the injury concerns. I've had my fair share of injuries. I'm sure the medical staff looked that through and he'll be fine. And I'm excited to work with him. I'm excited to work with anybody that has the type of mentality that this kid supposedly does. I haven't been able to meet him yet, but everybody says, you know, he's a hard worker. He's, you know, tough-nosed, blue collar, going to come to work every single day. And I'm going to do anything I can to help him out, and we'll make each other better. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, it's a perfect match there. I'm just, you know the best advice? Yeah, you've had a few injury problems, but you've been, of all those Eagle players who've been around a while, Jason, you've remained on that field most of the time. How? Okay, what kind of advice can you give to a kid like that on how to stay healthy enough to help your team?
Well, first of all, part of it's just being lucky, right? You know, there's going to be compromising situations you get put in on the field that are unavoidable. You know, I tore my ACL. Ed Reed tried to tackle LeSean McCoy my second year in the league and made a diving attempt, which is one of the worst tackling attempts I've ever seen. It was so bad. It was so bad. John Harbaugh called Andy Reid to tell him that Ed wanted to make sure that we knew it wasn't intentional. And I'll never forget that. I was like, yes. But, yeah, so I was out for that whole season because of that. And there's nothing I could have done to avoid that. And, you know, I know that there's four injuries there. The only thing you can try and do is keep finishing and keep playing through the echo of the whistle. You get caught standing around, that's when guys can kind of roll up on you a little bit more frequently. But you can't on the tape with this kid. He doesn't stand around. I mean, he finishes to the echo of the whistle all the time. And especially for a guy that big, that's rare to see. Most of the time, these big guys, you know, they lack a little bit of that endurance. They lack of the ability to go to the echo of the whistle. They're really powerful at the point of attack, but then it kind of dies at the end. Not this kid. This dude's finishing all over the field. He's burying guys. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Baldy loves him so much and why he's on his Baldy breakdown so much is because he puts it on tape. I mean, so I don't know why he's had the four surgeries or the injuries or whatever. But the only advice I ever give guys is finish, and he already does that. So I think it might just be some really, really bad luck, and hopefully coming to a new city, Philadelphia, you know, that'll change.
Last thing, Jason, we know that every year you take a little time to consider whether you're going to come back. And we know that you measure that because you want to stay healthy for your family. What made you decide you wanted to play this season?
I still want to play. I mean, it's hard, it's really hard. You know, every year physically gets a little bit harder to get through the whole season. Little nagging injuries come up. So every year at the end of it, you're kind of worn out, especially at the end of last year. You know, the losing season on top of that is going to wear on you mentally. You're constantly trying to correct the ship, constantly trying to keep everybody together as a veteran player. And that wears on you too. But the bottom line is I still want to play. I mean, I still love coming to work. The guys, I still love coming to work, you know, with the into an environment where everybody is trying to be the best they can be. And I'm in an environment with the best people at what they do in the world. I don't know how I'm going to get that. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, I want to be healthy when I retire. That's for sure something that's on my mind. But you know what? I've been really blessed to be around, you know, groups of men who are competing every single day with each other to try and be the best in the world at what they do. And that's a luxury that I think is hard to quantify. And then when I talk to all the former players, what do you miss the most? I miss being around the guys. I miss that energy. I miss that environment. I miss the atmosphere of the locker room. Those personalities are hard to come by when you're done playing. And at some point, I'm going to have to say that, you know, it's over. But I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm getting goosebumps just talking right now. I get excited to get back around these guys, to get back in the weight room, to get back to trying to figure out how to be the best team in the NFL, to be the best center in the NFL. All of these things I'm not done with yet. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited for another year. I'm excited with the new coaches, and I'm excited to surprise some people this year with the Philadelphia Eagles.
You're an awesome player, and you're a hell of a guy. Jason, I can't thank you enough. This is terrific. Thank you for doing this today.
Thanks a lot, Angelo.
The great Jason Kelce. Wow.
Taylor made for this city.
Is he not perfect?
Yes.
And he takes you into the huddle. He gives you so much insight. That's why I said, Al, he's our favorite Eagle.
Yep.
He is.
How do you listen to
phenomenal.
Him talk for 15 minutes there and not think they're going to win at least 10 games?
Exactly.